104.7 Triple M. No one knows Adelaide like these guys. Ruined It's for Breakfast.
Overnight news.
Many cities, many states in lockdown. We've got border restrictions. We've got all sorts of things happening. But Anastasia Palaszczuk is flying off to the Tokyo Olympics today, Roo.
Yeah, lots.
And the whole of Queensland is up in arms about it.
Yeah, I can see why they're a bit annoyed. They got fired up at ScoMo when he went on a holiday when we had the bushfires last year as well, didn't they? And he had a few photos over there. But
she's arguing. Now, there's 130,000 signatories with a petition against her leaving. She's trying to win the Olympics for Brisbane.
Yep.
In 2032.
That's right.
She believes it's vital that she goes to the Olympics and conducts meetings and meets all the right people and tries to win the games. So sitting here, I can see why she should be there.
Well, I can see why she planned to go there. And some people, look, it's kick a politician.
It's a bit petty, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you can. But
she's saying that in 2032, you would hope we're all back to normal. We don't know, but you would like to think it's a decade away. We're going to be back to normal. And you could have the Olympics in Brisbane under normal circumstances, and it's important that she wins it. I reckon it's worth $14 billion to the economy if you get the Olympic Games in Brisbane. So, come on, stop being petty, people. She needs to go over and meet the right people.
Yeah.
And then they're asking questions, well, when you come back, Anastasia, who's paying for your quarantining and all those sorts of things?
It's a bit childish. Yeah, it is.
What
about shark attacks now? We've heard that phrase, for our entire lifetimes. This has been happening since your mates, the sharks, have been chomping on people, which has been quite a while. But we're getting very green and we're trying to see the good in everything these days. And in Queensland and New South Wales now, when there's a old-fashioned shark attack, they want to call them now interactions. Well, negative encounters.
Negative. They are very negative. Don't worry about that. I just tell you now, this is shark researchers at the Australian Marine Conservation Society. That'd be an exciting group, wouldn't they? They're saying that they just want to dispel the myth that their inherent assumptions that sharks are ravenous, mindless, man-eating monsters. But they are, for God's sake. What else are they?
Well, sometimes they get misunderstood about what they're eating, Dits.
Yes,
that's why they spin them out, I think. But, Queensland and New South Wales, the only two states that have taken this on board. There's still shark attacks here in SA. There's still shark attacks in Victoria and WA, just not Queensland and New South Wales. So there you go. The greenies having their say.
All right. Now, we know about Afterpay, Roo, and the shares have gone nuts over the world.
Buy
now, pay later, all of those things. There's an app now to introduce this to dining. It's called Dine Now, Pay Later, and the app is called Payo.
I like the name.
And it's soaring in popularity. So imagine, how could you go with that? Well, it wouldn't affect you as a business, would it?
Because
I presume Payo pay you straight away.
Yeah, that's right.
But me as the consumer, I then pay later whenever I want. So it's not
you're going to pay your installments when you're meant to pay them. And if you don't pay them when you're meant to pay them, you pay a very hefty fee.
So for you, the restaurant owner, it won't affect you at all.
Well, it might make it better because you might get more people in there if that's correct.
They're doing this at top restaurants. So I could be a real toff and pretend to some lady that, hey, I'll take you to the absolute top joint in town.
Yeah.
But I pay for it,
Still got to pay for it.
Still got to pay for it.
So, there's a lot of movement in that space. PayPal have actually come out with something where there's no late fees as well now, which is where usually you get caught.
No late fees, just never pay then.
Do a runner, totally.
And just finally, tell me about the beds at the Olympic Games Village.
Well, they've got anti-sex beds at the Games Village, which usually they'd be built to withstand a bit of a pounding in because
Excuse
that's
me?
Well, that's what they do in the village, don't they?
Yeah,
they go and compete and then mix with the rest of the athletes from all around the world. Yep, that's one from the 1956 Melbourne Games with the old metal springs there. Try getting to sleep with that next door, will you? But anyway, these sex beds that they've got over there in Tokyo, they're only built to withstand 200 kilos.
Well, they're made of cardboard.
cardboard.
No, they are. They are. This is true. They're made of cardboard so that you can throw them out afterwards.
It wouldn't be sounding like the sound effect we just had before then. It'd be going, poochook. But anyway, if 200 kilos, I'm 104 dits. If I broke that in Tokyo.
Means you've pulled a chick that's 90. What's she?
I pulled a Croatian wrestler or something. Wrestlers or something. or a heavyweight lifter. So there you go. Look
or a
out
bloke.
For...
You could have pulled a bloke as well. I mean, you know, as you know, in this
yeah,
day and age.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, you
right.
might have so, pulled a, you know, a Nigerian weightlifter as well.
We'll keep an eye on the sex beds in the Games Village in Tokyo over the next month or so.
All the big stories right here. That's what's making news. Are you getting ready to fast, Roy?
Yeah. Starting we had a chat Wednesday. About it as a family last night, actually. Yeah. We were contemplating doing it as a whole family.
Really?
Except for Tom and Rocco, because Rocco needs to eat anyway, and Tom's a bit young for it. But we're contemplating it to see if these
good.
Young kids can do it.
So this is 35 hours of fasting, and we're trying to raise 35 grand.
Yeah. There's some. I wish I had the recorder down when we were talking about it, because some of the kids were... Rosie goes, what, we can't eat all of Thursday? But anyway, we'll see how we go. I'm definitely doing it. You'll definitely do it. Are you doing it, Mel?
I am doing it.
Good
so
on
this
you.
Is for Lisa and James and their little boy who's 4 years of age, Nikki, Murray Bridge family. And the little boy, if you haven't heard the story, he's got stomach cancer.
Yep.
And we're trying to raise some funds, much needed funds for them.
Is Alice doing it? Sure. Yeah, oh. She says she's doing it as well. Well done,
little
Alice.
Nod.
Congratulations. Yeah. So this is good.
Anyway, I think we've got a couple of real good donations coming up later
more
on this
donations.
Morning.
Yep, brilliant.
Ruined It's on Triple M. What did we learn? Righto, Roo, you go first.
Yeah, I'm getting my Pfizer jab this afternoon. I've been trying to book in for a while and couldn't get into September and then late August. And then I think they've got a million more doses coming in. So I did what Mel said and checked every day. So I'm in today and I just had a look at some of the comparisons about the chance of getting a blood clot with your COVID vaccine compared to other things that are out there. So I think it's about one in... Anywhere from 70,000 to 100,000 chance of getting a blood clot when you have the vaccine shot.
Yeah,
so there's varying ones. So one in 70 to 100,000. When you have the contraceptive pill for women, it's one in 1,000.
Wow.
So
that's
it's
a
seven,
lot more.
You know, 60, prevalent. 70, 100,000 times less of a
but
chance.
But we're up in arms now. It could happen to men.
Mm. Oh,
that's right. But just on men. Just on men. Just on men, if you call these blokes men, blokes who use Viagra, one in 20,000. So if you're scared of having the COVID jab and you use Viagra, you're probably three or four times more likely to get a blood clot using Viagra. Bungee jumping, you're four times more, six times more for rock climbing. Marathons, ditz don't run a marathon, you're 14 times more likely to die from using running a marathon.
Is that why you're not running
marathons?
That's exactly
why he's giving it up. So there you go. I don't think the chances of it are very high at
good
all.
Good research,
so,
Roo.
Well, just making myself feel better about getting the injection in the Savo.
And by the way, just a reminder, which Mel helped you with last week, people that sort of inquiring think, oh, I've got to wait 2 or 3 months to get my jab. Just check every day, don't you? And that's how you got in
today.
Yeah,
that's right.
There are cancellations all the time, so it's worth
half
checking.
A million Aussies have had the first, South Aussies have had the first shot, and 178 have had both now.
Alice the Wag, what did you learn over the weekend?
This segment is more turning into how much of a mess my life is.
We like a Monday update.
I learned how little self-control I have because on Saturday afternoon I was not in the mood to do anything. I was just going out for a quick dinner to see a friend.
What did you do Friday night?
Nothing Friday night, so I'd had a quiet night. I thought Saturday night I want to do the same, be fresh on Sunday. So I went out for one drink with dinner and I ended up having a house party in my apartment until 3 a.m.
Bullshit!
Filled with people that I didn't know.
Oh,
Alice!
Yep. How's your neighbours?
Well, I haven't seen them because yesterday I didn't leave my apartment and yesterday I walked 34 steps.
34 in a whole day?
Yeah. I didn't walk out the door.
That means you would have had to like sort of ration your trips to the toilet to do 34.
Hell.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of movement going on.
So you must have been exhausted.
Bed.
Couch.
Couch.
Maybe
toilet
once or
fridge.
Twice. Front door for Uber Eats once.
Uber Eats. They're here.
They're here.
Who are these people? Where did you meet them?
Well, because there's no dancing at the moment. So we went out to the
Mosley. For one drink.
for one drink, which turned into 3 or 4 tequila shots. And then get to that point where you're like, okay, I just want to have a good time. I want to have a dance and like get a bit loose. But you can't because you've got to be seated and it's not a vibe.
So you can't do it in a pub, but you can do it at home because COVID doesn't spread at home.
And said, everyone back to my place.
Everyone that you didn't know at the bar.
Yes.
How many are you talking?
There was about 7 people there.
Oh, God.
So sorry, Nancy, my neighbour.
Nancy would be very
Nancy.
All right, what I learned over the weekend is, so remember a while ago we covered the story, and for those of you that have been to supermarkets, probably I'm a little bit slow with this, you're already up on it, but we talked about Coon Cheese changing its name. It's gone. Cheer. I bought my first packet of Cheer cheese over the weekend.
Cheer?
Any idea, Mel, how long it's been out there?
About a month or so, I reckon.
So, and it looked exactly the same, tastes the same, it's everything the same, but
you
it's called Cheer.
Because it is the same.
It is the same. That's what I learned. All right. I'm a bit slow on the uptake. But
Why do they call it Cheer?
Well, they just wanted to change the
name. I know they wanted to change it, but is there any...
Well, it's a happy, friendly name, I suppose, isn't it? It's a positive
better than what
name.
It was.
I think so,
a lot of people.
And also, and again, people will know this, but so Kate wanted to have a pyjama day yesterday. She said, can you just do bacon and eggs?
I'm the only one that actually got out and went around all day.
So bacon and eggs. So I went to the local IGA very early in the morning. And
in your jammies?
I picked up bacon. Yes, in my jammies. I picked up bacon.
Can't do
and
that.
It was called Cheat. Have you seen that?
No.
What?
It's not meat. It's Cheat. So this is for the
it's not
vegan...
really pig.
No. And anyway, so...
you didn't buy that, did you?
No, quickly threw that back on the shelf, didn't I? It looked like bacon.
You nearly turned vegan.
So it wasn't bacon. It's fake bacon, fake.
It's fake, yeah.
Fake bacon called Cheat.
And the other thing I learned, which blew me away, by the way, is that Kate, it was our anniversary, you see. So especially today, Kate said, can you make bacon? Kate's brought out all these presents in the morning, and I hadn't bought anything.
Tits.
I felt bad. So
you're
I said to her,
effing hopeless.
So what you do is, quickly thinking on my feet, I said, no.
I didn't buy some cheap.
No, I said, we're going to go up the street. I'd planned this, Kate. We were going up the street because I want you to pick your present.
Oh, of course you do.
And there's a few nice shops in Harndorf. She said, no, I've bought everything that I want out of all of those shops. So there was nothing left.
She's done all of Harndorf.
She had.
She's done all of Harndorf.
She was fair income too. She said, no, I've bought everything. I said, no,
I don't need anything from Harndorf.
She said, there must be something. She goes, no, I've got the lot.
No. So what did you learn? She's
finished.
Bought the lot.
Yeah. So that was it.
I've learned you're a bad husband.
Thank you.
Good on you. Well done, everyone.
Just want to revisit Alice's story over the weekend, if we could. Alice, we've got her back in the studio.
I want to revisit how the hell we got the wrong Jenny. I'm still trying to get my head around that.
It's actually a fluke. We just had the wrong number and she just happened to be called Jenny.
But what's the chances of that? Yeah. What's the odds?
And I kept calling her. She kept saying, yeah, it's Jenny, but it was not the right one.
Not the right Jenny. Not the Hurley Group Hotel Jenny. Anyway, move on.
Alice, just tell us again.
34 steps.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you've got one of these watches on that counts.
Yeah, I had a Fitbit.
How many should you do on a day?
I aim for 10,000.
10,000, just fell short.
Is that a normal day?
Yeah. There's not really a day where I don't get 10,000. That's what they say you should
aim for. And yesterday you did?
34.
Right.
So you fell short.
Yeah, how did you achieve this?
So I woke up quite late and then just lay in bed for a very long time.
Right.
And then I eventually got hungry, so I walked to the kitchen and put some toast on. Then I sat on the couch and ate the toast and also fell asleep after that. So then slept till probably 2. Oh. And then I woke up and walked and got more food and then sat back down and then stayed on the couch the whole afternoon.
Right.
And then I ordered Uber Eats and it was a bit of a standoff because the driver didn't want to walk up my driveway.
Right.
But I didn't move. So.
Well, you just stood at the door.
Yeah, that's what I pay him for. So I stood at the door waiting.
Is that the only bit of fresh air you got
that
for the day?
That is the only bit of fresh air. I did not go outside. I did not drive my car.
With your Fitbit, when you're only sort of in the less than 100 category, does it like an alarm go off or something?
Well,
move.
You'll notice I'm not wearing my Fitbit today.
You can get a blood clot from not doing anything.
Now,
let alone the AstraZeneca.
Still in pyjamas at the end of the day?
Oh, definitely.
Hadn't moved out of them?
No.
Right. Okay.
No, like bra was definitely not put on. Like hair is, I've got a bit of a dreadlock at the back of my hair at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like I didn't move.
So you did as little as possible.
Yeah.
Wonder what, if anyone can beat that out there.
34 steps. I had 4 naps.
Four naps.
I just kept
Uber Eats, 34 steps, a little bit of fresh air at the door, stand off with an Uber Eats driver.
Yeah.
It's some sort of day.
I'm a real catch.
133353. What is the laziest day you've ever had? Have you? Could you beat Alice? Can you beat Alice?
Please.
34.
And what
steps.
Involves? I call it for blokes. It'd be a real slob day. What? Explain your slob day to me. How does it work?
You do pajama day, Dits. Do you? I mean, you went to the supermarket. You had a massive day compared to Alice.
Yes, I did yesterday, yeah. But Kate had a pyjama day, but to be fair, she works very, very hard all week. So she said, I just want to have a pyjama day, do nothing. I said, no, fair enough. So I went and made bacon and eggs.
Beautiful. Hey, we had asked for calls on being lazy. They're too lazy to ring.
Too lazy.
Celebrities.
Kim Kardashian is back on the dating scene.
Influencers.
Instagram, Triple M Adelaide page, whatever that means.
He's got his ear to the ground.
Got a bit of celebrity news for you.
It's time for Chris Dittmar's...
OMG!
Celebrity news.
Oh, I don't know where to start today, Ruth. Oh, I've got a mixed bag for you.
Give it to me, Peter Ford. I'm in it.
Righto. Katie Hopkins is a British TV celebrity come commentator. She was a columnist as well. She's been sacked from everywhere. She's been staying in a hotel.
She's been sacked
over from... there. She has, because she's very controversial. Yeah,
right.
Done a lot of silly things, but we've got her out here to appear on Big Brother. That was the big rumor. So she's been in 14 days of quarantine isolation, and she hates it. She doesn't like it at all. So in protest,
she knew she was going to have to do it.
Well, don't know about that, but she doesn't like it. And anyway, we're kicking her out. We're sending her back to the UK.
Why?
Do you know what she's been doing? So a little protest. So she gets 3 meals a day in her hotel quarantine. She answers the door nude. I'm saying to you, please keep her. Please keep her here.
What does she look like?
She's all right.
Okay.
She's all right. But she's,
I'm gonna please.
She's protesting at the fact that she's in isolation. Yeah. Does she realise what Big Brother's all about or not?
I hadn't even thought about it.
You're sent into a house and actually you're isolated. You're locked in.
For months.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, this is a good warm-up
actually,
event.
I just want to apologise to the HelloFresh people because I get food. I thought I'd try it over the weekend as well.
Oh, no.
Why not? Hey. Give him a thrill.
He said it was jammy day, not birthday suit day.
Oh, I sleep in the nude. No, no, no. Anyway, let's move on. Beck Judd, she's a nutcase as well.
Oh,
so to all the women,
to all the women listening this morning.
No, but people that have just lost touch with reality a little bit. Beck Judd has gone online and talked about her 4 things that she does for her skin. What do you call it?
Oh, it's like a skincare regime. Thank
you, skincare regime. She says use this. You've got to use this. And she's appealing to all women. Beck, it costs $650, for God's sake. stuff she's using. So all the girls out there going, I want to look like Beck Judd.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, $650. Use that every
night. Don't worry, Kate will be using stuff that's expensive. Trust
hell.
Me, they all do.
Talking about losing touch with reality. Mm. Farmer Rob.
What happened to soap?
Eh? Yeah, exactly.
What happened to soap?
A bit of Solvol. That'll get rid of the dead skin.
Is that grey stuff?
Yeah. No, it gets rid
of the dead
skin. You
find that at the mechanics in the toilet.
Anyway, Farmer Rob on Farmer Wants a Wife. I talked about this fella last week because he's the best bloke I've ever seen on reality TV. You remember this?
Yeah, I sort of think probably we're great friends, but I don't know if I'm feeling that lightning bolt connection with any of you.
Can you all go home? Right? So he got rid of all the
Farmer
women.
Doesn't want a wife.
In one fell swoop. He just said, right, all of it. And it was so funny.
Get
it was
out.
Sad. One girl looked at him and said, what, now? He went, yep, now. Pack your gear now.
He's getting the dog out of the house.
Anyway, how's this? I've read up on this. There's a backstory to it.
You're joking. Have you got an exclusive here?
This is good goss. Wow. What happened was Farmer Rob, so he's got all these women staying at his farmhouse and beautiful place in the Snowy Mountains, and he's got the shits.
Why?
Good and proper. One of the producers has left the gate open one night. All of his sheep have got out. This is true. All of his sheep have escaped.
On the farm?
So
How did you get this exclusive?
So he's gone to the management and said, right, you can all leave, get out, pack up and go. Not just the women, everyone. He said, this isn't for me. He said, you're ruining my day-to-day work. It's too hard. Go. So anyway, everyone's gone. They've come back to it now.
And he went and got his sheep and all that.
He's gone and recollected his sheep. He's rounded them up. They've come back to him, the producers, and said, oh, by the way, Rob, you actually got a contract with us. You ain't going anywhere. And if you remember, those that have seen it, so late last week, he's reintroduced to the show with 4 new women. And he's all happy going, yeah, no, I'll have another go. Because they've actually held a gun to his head and said, mate, you are still on the show because we've got a contract. So how's that? Right. Now, I'll go as quick as I can. The other controversy last week, I told you there was a rumour about Sam the farmer.
He wasn't even a farmer.
He ain't a farmer. So he's a fraud. Well, he's come out and addressed all of this. He said, I am a farmer, because they're all saying he's a truck driver. And there are all of these girls going
online.
He's
not a truck driver. He's the most well-kept truck driver of all time. Yeah. He is. I'm not even convinced he's a
farmer. There are girls going online saying, he lives in Sydney and I've been out with him. He's not a farmer. This is what's
going
on.
Is that how they talk?
Yeah, they do. Anyway, and he says, I'm a truckie. No, he says, I'm not a truckie.
They got a cold.
I'm not a truckie. And he reckons he's a farmer.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he gets his hands dirty and all that on the farm. So he's
is that how Tim Vince talks?
Yeah, that's him. And just finally, one of my favourites of all time, Queen, Brian May. Brian May's birthday today, Ru.
Amazing.
There you go. That is my celeb.
What's Brian doing for his birthday?
Don't know.
Pajami day.
No, Jami day. Not doing much. Yeah.
Oh,
all right,
that
that's
is
my
great
celebrity
stuff.
Goss. There you go.
You are on
I
fire.
Love Farmer Rob. He's my favourite.
Yes.
Triple M.
Ladies.
Delving deep inside the mystery and wonder of the female mind.
The women run the country.
It's Ruin Tits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Tits.
Oh, we've got a rookie.
I don't know the rules.
We hung her out to dry. We didn't tell her what to do. Sorry,
Loz. Where's the induction program,
don't you go
girls?
Through schooling for this? For God's sake.
We need
sake.
A little video.
Yes.
We let a sister down. Sorry, mate.
Righto. Good morning, Loz.
Good morning.
From Loz and Tomo, our brand new brekkie show on the weekend.
Yeah.
Quick, give us 30 seconds about Loz. Where are you from? What do you do?
Oh, I'm a Hills girl. I've been in the sort of radio game for a long time, slugging away, and finally I've been asked in to the room.
The A-grade.
Cool.
Whereabouts in the Hills?
Paracombe. Ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah, there's good wines up there.
Yeah, and then my next door neighbours, Paul and Kath Drogenmuller.
Very good people, the druggies.
Righto. Ru, this is our topic today. Now, Yana is a lady that works at Triple M in Sydney, and she does a lot of online. What are you giggling at?
Sorry, her name's Jana.
Yana, where I come from. Jana.
Too bad, Jana. It's Yana now.
But it's still like Yana Pitt, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, exactly.
Gosh, she had braces at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Winning a gold medal.
Slowed her down.
At least they were
carrying all that medal around. Anyway, or didn't. She won the gold. But anyway, here's Jana.
Every weekend I'm on the prowl, like no one is coming up and chatting to me. And he goes, all right, set the scene for me. I'm like, well, there's usually six girls and we're all dressed up and we've got cocktails. And he goes, do you know how intimidating it is for a guy to come up to a group of six girls? And he goes, I know your girlfriends, you're all loud. He goes, a guy isn't going to come up to six girls and like bare their soul or make an idiot of themselves trying to crack onto you. And I was like, oh my God, that's so true. He said, you need to start going out with one girlfriend.
Spot on. Good advice, I reckon, Roy. It's very hard walking up to it.
It's hard no walking up to why are you walking up to six girls and asking out someone?
No. Have you experienced this, Alice the Wag?
Yes. But I've got a bit of an opinion on it because if the guy comes up to me and he's my type and he's hot, then I'm really happy to him to approach me at the bar. But if it's someone that is ugly, then they become creepy for approaching me at the bar and I don't want him
to
come up.
Send them to get KFC.
Yeah.
Well, they're just creepy because they're born that way, are they?
No, there's just
because they're ugly, they're creepy.
Yeah,
but ugly to one person is not ugly to another. So, you know, sometimes really attractive men on paper are still like not your type, and someone who's not necessarily very attractive on paper has something going for them. So it's not there's someone for
don't
everyone.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah,
you're making this a bit complicated.
No.
Can I just ask the question? Do you actually understand how hard it is for a bloke to walk up to you?
Oh.
You sure you do?
Yeah, I would never go up to a guy.
So girls don't go up to guys?
No,
don't need to.
Depends how many I've had. I've done it a couple of times.
And what do you do these days?
Well, I'll give them my number on a piece of paper, but I will get someone else to give it to them.
Classy. Now, Mel, do you understand, have you always had an understanding of how difficult it is for us to walk up to?
I absolutely have a massive amount of respect for the guy who feels the fear and does it anyway, because that would be terrifying. We're all afraid of rejection, and being rejected by a bunch of cackling, good-looking women and tottering around in heels would be pretty rough. And I think the bar of expectation is far too high for these interactions. Four words, Princess Mary of Denmark.
Which is?
They met in the pub,
yeah.
Her and Prince
oh,
Frederick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we're all expecting too much from these encounters now.
So
it's not going to happen.
If you are understanding of this, what's been your best reject? When a bloke walks up and you just go, look, sorry, mate, but no. Like, how do you do it?
Yeah, you do. You definitely don't scoff. You don't laugh. You don't do anything, you know, horribly.
Yeah. Me
no
with chance. You,
way too
you're joking. Yeah.
No.
You just say, thank you. No, I'm just here with my friends. We're having a great time. So you go have a great time.
I go over the top always. Like, I panic and say something insane to try and make them feel not bad. Like, I'll be like,
that's good.
Married to a woman and we live in Switzerland. I'm only here for 2 days and it's just unnecessary.
It's not worth it.
So that's about five lies in one sentence. Yeah.
Just so that they don't feel like it was them.
Good on you, Loz.
It's not you, it's
good
me.
Good thinking of it that way.
Wag, or the best letdown?
Well, it happened to me at the Woolshed and I said, can you just go out to Hindley Street and buy me a KFC box? And never talk to him again.
All right, thanks, Angels.
Thanks.
Hey, we're going to have Loz back again?
I reckon.
Thanks, guys.
Just get the intro
right.
You're
a good liar.
I'll go through training. Yeah.
Tell us about the footy over the weekend, Roo.
Well, I didn't think Port would win on the weekend. I thought they would the week before against Melbourne, and they were very disappointing. I thought going to Melbourne with just about every small forward on their list out, I just didn't think they'd get the job done. But sometimes when we're thinking like that, the players are thinking like that, and they're all thinking like that, and they focus a lot more. The power of the mind is a massive thing in sport, and I thought it was a great win. Perhaps Port's best win for the year after perhaps their worst loss for the year the week before. Mm. So great effort by Port Adelaide. Ollie Wines just continues to play well, leading the way. And a few of their lesser lights bobbed up too. Riley Bonner, who sort of come into the side, who's in and out, not everyone's favourite. He did all right. McKenzie continues to...
McKenzie was fantastic.
He plays well. Dixon didn't have a lot of touches, but gee, gave him a target. Georgiadis kicked four goals straight and took some great marks. So, well done to Port Adelaide. A big win. Gets their season back on track. And with a couple of the other results to top sides like Melbourne having a draw and Brisbane losing, all of a sudden Port now are back in the top four and a good chance of going on with it.
Roo, honestly, I thought it was a massive win. Real, real big. Undermanned. St Kilda hit the front in the last quarter. Thought it was a very, very big result. Thought they did a great job.
Yep, full marks to Port Adelaide. Great response. I just need to keep it going now. Crows, on the other hand, they were fumbly and made a lot of errors. They're not playing near their best at the moment. Probably going at about a 7 or a 6.5 out of 10. Thought they were reasonable in the first half, but then when West Coast got going, and Nick Natanui in his 200th game, he is probably, I don't know if he's the best tap ruckman I've seen, Ditson, I don't know who's better, but gee, when he's on fire, he just puts it on a platter for his midfielders, and when he decided to do that, there was no answers from the Crows, and understandably, their midfield smashed the Crows and ran away with a good win. I don't know how the hell they were in a position where they were going to be out of the eight West Coast Eagles, but they were. They got a great side on paper. They started showing a bit better form in that second half yesterday, and you'd think they're going to play a part in September. Adelaide look like they're limping, not limping, look like they're just tiring to the line at the moment. A few players just, as I said, fumbling and making errors. But so they need to find something and tough it out for the next 5 weeks.
Roo, what are you hearing about the Port-Collingwood game for Friday night at the Adelaide Oval?
Well, there was a lot of talk around yesterday that the next few weeks anything could happen. Right. They could swap games out of next week's round into this week's round. There was talk Port's game could go to Saturday because at this stage for Collingwood to play here on Friday night, SA Health will have given an exemption to stay here. Generally, when SA Health have let Melbourne sides in, when there's COVID cases around, they fly in and out, mm-hmm. like Port did playing at 1:45 on Saturday afternoon in Melbourne. So I wouldn't be surprised if that game's a lot earlier. I know it's meant to be earlier anyway because of the opening ceremony for the Olympics, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I think the next day or two, a fair bit could happen in the world of football. Even yesterday, the Sydney GWS game, five players weren't allowed to play because they went to watch the Wallabies a few days earlier. And when they weren't little players, they were... Toby Green's GWS's best player.
Mm. We have been absolutely inundated with emails and text messages and whatever.
Automasters text line. Can you believe it?
I know. It's gone crazy. So this was on Friday. All we did was we mentioned that the Brazilian president has had hiccups for 2 weeks. He's gone to hospital, or 10 days he's had them.
Yep.
Oh, I said, well, that's nothing. Mm. Bruce Abernathy, he was in hospital. When I worked with him at Channel 7, in hospital for 14 days, hiccupping nonstop.
Well, mine is you actually have to close your nose and your ears. So you have a finger on your nostril and your ear. So your canals are shut. And then you sip and swallow water about 10, 15 times. It works. It's the best remedy I've tried. Everyone I've tried it on since, it works, and they look at me in amazement.
How many fingers and hands have you got? How do you do that?
Shove fingers up your nose.
You need someone to hold the glass. That's the whole thing. Or you can do a straw.
You had to squeeze your bum cheeks together at the same time while you stick your fingers up your nose and fingers in your ears to block.
Hey, that's optional, but if it feels good for your ears, go your
Yeah, I'm trying to work out, Rue. There's about four different hands you need for that.
Yeah,
if you block
got
your
enough.
Nose, you need a finger in each ear.
I don't think you can do it.
You do need help.
I don't
you
think
need
you can do your nose and both ears at once, can you?
You can't, no. But he, it's happened twice
you
in
want
his
a
life.
A big hand.
And I remember he was on muscle relaxants and all sorts of things for his throat and chest area, and nothing worked.
I don't think I could tell anyone I went to hospital for hiccups. Well, and make something up.
Doesn't sound like the bravest thing ever, does it? Now, Mel, you were just saying that something causes your hiccups.
Yeah, second I eat chili, I immediately get hiccups.
Is that right?
Mm.
Yeah. You what?
I eat a dish that's heavy on the chili,
right?
I immediately get a very serious case of the hiccups every single time.
Right.
Mm.
Okay. So mine's as simple as just holding your breath. I find it works. I don't know whether it's a myth or not, but... whether it's mental, but I hold my breath for a long, 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 long time, and that seems to cure them.
Or scaring people, that seems to work as well.
Tonight on Eye on Springfield, we meet a man who's been hiccuping for 45 years.
Kill me. Kill me.
That can be annoying. It's 6:45, ruined it for breakfast.
Oh, we've got cures coming from everywhere, Roo. Who you got there?
Let's go to West Hindmarsh. G'day, Dave. What's your hiccup cure?
How you going there, fellas? Yeah, and how you going there? Just had a couple of beers at the Elephant Castle there a couple of long time ago there, mate, but you wouldn't remember me. and Ruin, I've seen you on the at the old Amy there on the footy over there, mate, front row, Mad Crow supporter.
Good on you, Dave.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But hey, come on, being a publican there, mate, you should know.
Yeah,
I mean, I've worked in hotels, I've worked many places. Yeah. Hey, an inch and a half of raspberry cordial.
Yeah.
In a glass. Scull that down and within about 5-10 seconds, no more hiccups. So you don't have to go to hospital like everybody else does.
What, you scull straight red cordial?
Yep, raspberry red cordial, mate, an inch and a half, I tell you what, and I'm gonna put my signs on that.
Yeah.
That's my remedy.
All right, Dave.
And you don't sleep for a week.
Good
yeah, that's right. You won't sleep for a week, yeah.
Good on you, Dave. I reckon you've had some raspberry cordial this morning. Good on you, Dave. Hey, I just had a little reminder. Dr. Cole's got a great remedy for hiccups.
You've been reading a report about a guy who had a condition of his heart rate going too fast, which had been stopped with digital rectal massage.
Oh, hang on. Right, Dr. Cole. Okay.
So then he applied, as he wrote in the paper, slow circumferential massage.
No.
And then, yeah, and to the rectum. And then the hiccups went away. But I can tell you the problem with it. You ready for it?
What?
There's no Medicare rebate for it.
Oh. Roo, if you arrive tomorrow any day and say, I've got the hiccups, I am not doing the massage.
No. I've never thought of Dr. Carl the same since he went with that. Let's go to Bert and Paul. Have you got a remedy for hiccups?
Yeah, mate. How are you, boys?
Good,
yeah,
thanks, good. Paul.
Yep, so what you do is you get a cup of water, put on the table, you grab both your thumbs, one in each ear, and you pick up the cup of water with the rest of your fingers and scull it, and guaranteed, mate, you've got no more hiccups.
How long are your fingers? Yet, but guaranteed. How do you do that?
But it works, guaranteed, mate. You look like a bit of a peanut, but it works.
That's the Bruce Abernathy cure,
that
too,
is
isn't
the
it?
Bruce, that
but sounds... I'm just working, I'm doing this now with my thumbs. How can you possibly, I've got a cup here in front of you, actually. Yeah. How can you?
It looks like something that needs to be on TikTok, I think.
It can be done.
Once again, if you've got hands like Donald Trump, you can't do that. You need big hands. Let's go to Golden Grove. Ian, what's your hiccup remedy?
Well, look, I've got a little quiz for you, Bruce. There was a man walked into a bar.
Right.
Walked up to the bar, said to the barman, give us a glass of water, please, mate.
Yep.
The barman gave him a glass of water. Then the barman reached under the bar, got a double-barrel shotgun out, fired two shots right along past the man on the floor.
Right.
The man smiled, said, thanks, Bert. Have a good day. He cured his hiccup.
Yeah, well, I said before, scaring you does work. So that's an extreme version of scaring someone. Yeah, good work. All right, so there you go.
Now, we're going to send Dave.
Get a shotgun out.
Should we give the prize to Dave?
Yeah, very, yeah,
Dave. Dave was on the red cordial this morning.
Sure was, Dave. Yeah, we've had plenty of red cordial ones. Sounds like that's the one to try.
Text us anytime. It tickles your fancy. 0488 51047 for the Automasters text line.
Yeah, lots of people listening via the Listener app, which is great news. It's an easy way to do it. I've done that while driving in the country when you're out of range. It's a great way to keep listening. I wonder who's going to win the gold medal for breaking the first bed in the Olympics.
Yes.
We've had that one. I'm a teacher and our kids are back today. Jane Marie Pfeiffer. There you go, Jane. We said earlier that... lots of kids have got the day off today.
Including yours, which they've had, what, 3 weeks holiday? First day back today, your kids have got the day off.
Yeah, I know.
John from Hillbank has just texted in and said, your kids must have the same manager you've got, Roo, doing their contract as well.
Yeah, the buggers. Good one there, Johnny boy.
First day back and they get the day off.
Yeah, I know, unbelievable. My wife's very happy. Sad you are leaving, Alice, but good luck in the future.
Yeah.
There you go, Alice.
Now, I think Alice put something on Facebook last night, but we haven't really talked about this. But, yeah, we're very, very sad.
And why is Alice leaving with a few emojis there,
So mid-August, Alice finishes up. Mm. Yeah, very sad. But she's landed a very, very good job at Channel 7.
Been
so good
poached, headhunted, which was always going to be the case. Now, Ditz, you didn't send an emoji on World Emoji Day either.
Oh, I didn't know how to. Because you all sent emojis.
Don't look at me in the eye and lie like that.
I don't. I don't.
You don't know how to send an emoji. Sent one. Have you ever bumped with your little fat fingers there the wrong button on your phone that they come up with all the emojis?
Did you just fat shame me?
That's all right. We fat shame each other. We're allowed to.
No, I haven't done it.
You've never seen the emojis come
up? What would I send anyway? What you know?
Break your virginity with the thumbs up.
Right.
Or on Saturday, you could have sent a bag of cash, like I need a winner or something. Like
right,
that.
Bag of cash.
Or a little horse or something
on
Saturday.
Where do I find that? A bag of cash.
The emojis. You just scroll to the left and find all your emojis.
All right.
Please, come on.
Okay.
You couldn't do it for
us. I'll
send
you one today.
All right.
Oh, hello on this Monday morning. The kids are going back to school today. Well, that is
Most of the kids, except
Roo's kids. They've got the day off.
Yeah, I reckon I've been hoodwinked here. But anyway, good luck to the kids and good luck to the drivers out there. Slow down and... let's not knock any of them over. We've got some more donations coming later on in the show too, Dits, for to try and raise our 35K.
So we are fasting as of Wednesday night for 35 hours.
Yep, trying to raise money for the little fella.
Boy, am
little
I
Nicky.
Ripping into the tucker in the meantime?
Right. We'll be right. We'll get through it. We've got some celeb news coming up later on. What have we learned over the weekend as well? But we are going to talk about real estate up next. Dits... it's fair to say most people outside of South Australia must just think we are no good here in Adelaide.
I know.
Adelaide's no good. We're a backwater. Who'd want to live there? A couple of months ago, Craig James, who's the ComSec financial whiz, let's have a listen to him talking to Luke Boner about Adelaide.
Number one is Auckland, New Zealand. Number two is Osaka in Japan. And number three is Adelaide in Australia. So
Number three is Adelaide?
Yeah.
That was the most livable city in the world, right?
Adelaide?
What?
Luke Boner
Are you
knows. You know the show's coming to Adelaide.
Adelaide?
And you still say Adelaide?
Wow. Who would go there?
That can't be right.
This must be a misprint.
What has happened there recently to be livable? Have they got electricity there yet?
Yeah.
So that was like a month or two ago, and then this happened this morning.
All right, let's do the national whip around.
Look, Sydney 77.1, they had 786 auctions in spite of what's going on. Melbourne, sadly, you know, going into lockdown is very hard to change things at the last minute, but 76.4. Brisbane experienced 66.7%. So that's really good. At Adelaide's the winner this week, 83.1%.
Adelaide, great stuff.
Adelaide was the place to be.
Yeah, no, seriously, it's got to be a misprint.
Well, good on you, Adelaide. Well done, Adelaide. You've won. Everyone else has fallen over the Stephen Bradbury. Everyone else is in line.
I expected him to say, "And where's Adelaide again?
Where is that
where
place?
Is it?
I've heard of that place." Is that Austria? Good on you. So anyway, John Morris, we know who
he's going to tell us all about it, because that was all about the auction rates around the nation. Yeah. We are winning. We're Woo-hoo! Number one.
Go Adelaide.
Triple M.
He's the best auctioneer in Adelaide.
Sold, sold, sold.
And he likes to keep it real. Estate. Please welcome to Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, John Morris.
Oh, I'm still hearing crazy stories out there, Roo. What about the Seacliff house over the weekend?
300,000 over reserve there.
Over.
Over reserve. So
in Adelaide. Who would have thought?
Adelaide? Hey. Are you serious? Adelaide. let's get John Morris on, the number one auctioneer in South Australia. G'day, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's been happening out there in the world of real estate?
A lot of what you were just talking about in Seacliff, a lot of properties selling over the reserve, bidding starting at reserve or over reserve. Just again, I know a few weeks ago we were saying it seemed to be leveling off a little bit, but it doesn't. It doesn't at the moment. It seems to have had another big boom.
I heard properties in Rosewater are hitting big dollars as well. One of Ditz's old places, yeah,
old stomping ground.
Yep. Look, I honestly. The suburbs are just, it doesn't matter what suburb you're selling in at the moment. I sold one in Seaton, sold Paradise the other day, which went for $100,000 above reserve. It does not matter where you're selling, where you're buying at the moment.
So we would associate the big results with obviously the well-known sort of eastern suburbs. That's where we'd expect the big money to come from. But it is all relative. You're saying that it doesn't matter what suburb you're in out there, you can make a gain at the moment.
Yeah, there was a property last week, again in Seaton, sold for $1 million.
A million bucks. In Seaton?
What were you hoping for?
I think the reserve on that one was something like 800,000. So it was, they were thinking that was what it was going to go for.
God, that'd be a party in an extra couple of hundred grand in the skyrocket, no tax. And they're talking about blocks. Front page of the Advertiser today, 50% more vacant blocks sold in South Australia in the last 12 months.
Yeah, insane, isn't it? It's absolutely nuts. Great thing they've done as well, where you can put in where you want to live and they'll tell you how many blocks there are available. So I think that's absolutely fantastic. But, you know, they're not making any more land, are they?
No, they're not.
I know rentals aren't your sort of domain, but tell me at the moment, what do you have to do to put yourself at the top of the list to try and get a rental? I mean, there's a terrible story in the paper today about a lady who's in a tent in her friend's backyard. She cannot get a rental. Are there any tricks to this? What do we need to do?
I've had exactly the same. A mum from the school that my kids go to called me up desperate, saying, I've got a week before my rental comes up. What can I do? And, you know, the only thing I could do was say to her, put me as a reference and it might help you out. Yep. And it did, thankfully.
Right.
And I got a call about that. But look, I think you just got to turn up. You just got to make sure you've got some good references. That's what I'd say.
But are people walking in? Like something I've heard, John, is that let's say it's $400 a week. People are walking in saying, I'll pay $480. I mean, is that sort of thing going on out there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's exactly the same as the sales at the moment. You were talking a few weeks ago about people outbidding themselves at auction. I had that on two occasions over the weekend.
What?
And I said to the guy, you do realise that you're the highest bidder at the moment. And he said, I know what I'm doing. And then he outbid himself again.
He's just a dream for you. Take him to every auction every weekend.
Yeah. Oh, I said that to him. I said, you can come to every single one of my auctions.
As long as he can settle, he's awesome. No wonder you're the number one auctioneer, John. Now the truth's coming out.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you very much. Speak to you soon.
Good on you, mate. There he is, John Morris, the number one auctioneer in Adelaide. So real estate's still going crazy.
Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast are doing Fast 35.
Little Nicky can't eat at the moment because he's got a rare stomach cancer. Why don't we not eat for 35 hours? How about that, Lisa? What if we did that and try and made 35 grand?
That's just so amazing.
Ruined Dits, Fast 35.
Oh, it's such a sad story, Roo. Nicky, this is a Murray Bridge family and they got four boys. And let's hear from the mum, Lisa.
He's unwell a lot of the time. And so because it's such a long treatment plan, that's really hard, obviously. He can't go to kindy. He can't have friends around and obviously struggles putting on weight and just hitting all those normal milestones that you'd be expecting.
Because he can't eat.
No, it's really affected his appetite and how he feels in general. He can't, you know, he can only ride his bike for a little bit of time here and there. And yeah, but prior he was very, very active.
And Ru, you came up with a great idea to support. You said, well, he can't eat, so we won't eat either. So starting this Wednesday at around dinner time, around 6 p.m., you and all the team here are going to fast for 35 hours.
Yep.
And what we're trying to do is raise 35 grand. That's why we came up with the 35. And we're asking businesses around Adelaide if they can to donate $1,000.
Yep. And we've had a phone call from Jenny Hurley from the Hurley Hotel Group, who own a pub in Murray Bridge called the Murray Bridge Hotel. Good morning, Jenny. Oh, we can't hear you, Jen.
Hello, Jen.
Just get your phone there. We can't hear you.
Hello, Jenny.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Jenny.
That's better. How are you?
All right.
Oh, we can't hear there. What, something's happening with the phone, I think. Cool.
All right,
call Jenny
we might call
back.
Her back.
Right,
but Jenny Hurley and the Hurley Hotel Group are going to give us $1,000 as well.
Yeah.
And as you said, Ruth, I've got a pub in Murray Bridge.
Yeah, exactly right. So I thought, they thought they'd throw $1,000 our way. So yeah. Thank you to Jenny and Peter. They've got plenty of pubs around Adelaide. The Royal at Torrensville, the Arkabar, the Torrens Arms, the Marion, the Golden Grove, the Alma, the Kensington, the Tonsley, the Lincoln, the Pretoria.
Yep, some great pubs.
Yep.
And Ru, you said that you discussed fasting with your kids at the table last night.
We did last night. So a bit more discussing to be had yet before I get everyone over the line. But hopefully we will, and we all are as well. So should be the minimum we can do to try and raise $35,000 for young Nikki and James and Lisa.
One of the sad things, obviously what Nikki's going through is so incredibly sad, but I feel for his brothers too, who their sports had to go by the wayside.
Three older brothers.
Yeah, they all play basketball in Murray Bridge, and they've just found everything to do with the family's been very tough. Now, the other thing too, Ru, is not everyone obviously can give $1,000, but people can donate in other ways too, can't they?
Yep, they can. Just go to triplem.com.au if you want to do $10. It doesn't matter. If you want to do $1,000, you can do that at triplem.com.au. So thank you very much. Now I think we have got Jenny. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
Hello, Jenny. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for getting involved in this. And Jen, you've got the hotel in Murray Bridge, is that right?
No, I think you've got the wrong Jenny.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's why we've been having issues.
Okay.
We haven't.
See you, Jen.
Wrong Jenny. Is that microwave Jenny?
Is that Jenny?
Jenny.
I'm sure she's lovely.
Thank you so much to the Hurley Group, the hotel group.
Let's just play a song, okay?
Thank you, Hurleys, for $1,000.
Before Ru, we thought we were talking to Jenny Hurley, but we weren't. We were talking to Jenny.
Jenny with a very similar number.
The Hurley Group, Jenny and her husband Peter from the Arkabar Hotel and many other great hotels have donated $1,000 to our Fast 35, which is where you and all the team here are going to fast on Wednesday for 35 hours. One of Jenny's friends, she wants to remain anonymous, but this is fantastic, has just donated $3,000to the cause as well. So thank you. We know who you are, and she's a beautiful lady, this anonymous person. But thanks for that.
Got a business in Murray Bridge and obviously a connection with young Nikki, who's from Murray Bridge as well. So thank you for the $3,000. It'll go a long way to helping them get the care that they need.
Yeah.
Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast are doing Fast 35.
Little Nicky can't eat at the moment because he's got a rare stomach cancer. Why don't we not eat for 35 hours? How about that, Lisa? What if we did that and try and made 35 grand?
That's just so amazing.
Ruined Dits, Fast 35.
This is a real, real tough one, Ru. Murray Bridge family, Lisa, who we just heard from then, had her on the phone last week, her and her husband James, and they've got four little boys. But Nicky, the four-year-old, is going through a very tough time,
isn't
he?
Yeah, he's got stomach cancer. He can't eat. They need 50 grand to help with everything that goes on when you're trying to support
all the
kid. Expenses. I think Lisa had to quit her job as well, and James is finding it hard with his job as well. So we're trying to raise 35 grand by not eating for 35 hours coming up this Wednesday, and we're taking donations of $1,000, and we've got Trent Kelly on the line from TK. Is it Turf Services?
That's it, Ru. That's it.
How are you, Trent? How are you going?
Going well, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. Now, Trent's a good mate of ours. Now, you remember he was the tearaway opening fast bowler for South Australia, went to WA for a little bit, then came back, and he's married to Zoe, who works with us here. Trent, good on you, mate. Well done. Now, what do you do with your Turf Services?
We look after sporting clubs and schools and councils, and just specialise in turf management and looking after cricket pitches. So, yeah, this story really pulled at the heartstrings. I've got a son, Max, who's at a similar age, and I thought, well, I need to chip in here and try and help out.
Yeah, no, good on you, mate. To you and to Zoe, fantastic stuff, I must say. Now, have you got any fishing trips planned? Because all Zoe talks about here at work is how often you're away fishing.
Yeah, the last one that we went on was around Easter, and I think I might be popping up to Darwin next week.
So wow, that's about
Darwin
time.
Next
you're
week.
You're due for a trip.
I haven't told her yet. So
oh, what? Just a short flight to Darwin?
Yeah.
Now, the other interesting story too, and we'll get back on folks in a minute, but Trent should know about his cricket pitches, because who's your father-in-law, Trent?
Yeah, Les Burdett.
The great Les Burdett.
He does know a thing or two about cricket pitches and has taught me a few things along the way. So,
good stuff.
He's also good at drinking red wine.
Yeah, he is.
Good on you, Trent.
Nah, but Trent, we really, really appreciate you chipping in for this, mate. It just must be awful what this family's going through. So thank you so much for your donation, and good luck with TK Turf Services, mate. Well done.
Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Good on you.
Good
well
on you,
done. Trent Kelly's a fantastic lad, and Zoe's just gorgeous who works with us here.
Yep.
So well done. And we'll keep taking those donations, Drew, because we want to get $35,000. Now, not everyone, as we've said, can give $1,000.
No, and you don't have to. Just go to triplem.com.au if you want to give $10, $20, or $5. Doesn't matter. It all adds up. Go to triplem.com.au. Did you see the game of footy on the weekend? I think it was Lockleys and Colonel Light Gardens. Had to kick a goal.
This is incredible.
From the goal square to win the game. Now, the cheer was not because he kicked the goal and won the game. The cheer was because he kicked it into the man on the mark's head and broke his nose.
Could you believe it? They were 3 points down, siren goes, and what is he, about 5 metres out, straight in front.
Yeah.
And missed.
He didn't miss. He kicked him in his head. Shit. When you're kicking from the goal square, mate, you can go back as far as you like because you're going to make the distance. That's the only thing only way you can stuff it up, kicking it in his head.
We'll talk about that for the rest of his life.
Yes, he wouldn't have been popular at the... Well, the bloke with the broken nose would have been popular at the footy club that night.
Good smother.
Yes, very, very good smother. But the bloke kicking it wouldn't have been popular. A bit of fun there. Go and check that one out online. Triple M and RAA giving you the chance to win $5,000 cash before the bounce at Adelaide Crows home games. All you have to do is kick a goal in front of the crowd, which is a little bit of pressure. But I tell you what, if you miss, if you can't kick it and you're an RAA member, you get insurance against the miss. So you get a $500 prize anyway. Reckon you got what it takes? Go to and register at triplem.com.au. RAA, insurance for locals by locals. Get a quote today.
The boy at Lockleys needed that insurance on the weekend.
He did.
The boy that missed from the goal square.
Yes, kicked the fella in the
after
head
the siren
and broke his snozzer.
Yeah.
But he saved the game. Let's go to Tom Brown from Melbourne. What is happening in the world of footy, Tommy? Are we going to get a round away this weekend?
Yeah, I think we'll get a round away. Good morning, Roo. Good morning, Vitz. I'm up here on Cavill Avenue on the Gold Coast this morning, waiting for the Bombers to relocate from Service Paradise to Noosa. If you told me this time last week I'd be on the Gold Coast, I would have been very surprised. I think we'll get the round away. The AFL is looking at that 16 three-game swap. Basically, there's interchangeable games between rounds 19 and 20 just to minimise travel this weekend. I guess the big question is whether they'd even consider bringing the bye forward today, given the fact that Sydney and the Giants are now compromised. Just to update you guys on that story, the players that were due to play for Sydney and the Giants arrived at Metricon last night and were pulled just minutes, as we know, before the game. It's now emerged, and I reported last night, those players will have to isolate for the balance of the 14 days. Now, I hope and think that'll be from 9 days to go, basically, because back dates back to the rugby. But that means that Green and Mills and, you know, some absolute huge stars at the moment are locked up in isolation here on the Gold Coast and can't do anything for at least 9 days. Now, the AFL in the background is trying to work on that situation this morning, but it is a Queensland government requirement, and I'd be surprised if they could shorten that. They are low risk, the players, but I guess the broad question this morning is whether the AFL should bring the bye forward, which would be a controversial idea, but it would allow everyone to reset. There is the Olympics starting this weekend, and perhaps that would be more fair to Sydney and the Giants. But I don't think it's on the AFL's radar at the moment. They demonstrated again last night with that game going ahead that they're determined to push ahead. Gil McLaughlin, I understand, was pretty, not irate, but fairly upset in his meetings over the weekend that these players had been to the rugby and had sort of not followed all the QR codes and all the rest of it. But the players didn't breach any rules last week. I mean, AFL officials themselves were at public functions in Melbourne last week. You know, I asked Gil McLaughlin at the press conference last Wednesday or Thursday, it was out the front of AFL House, whether they changed the player protocols. And he said, no, we'll just stick with the traffic light system at that stage. And I guess on reflection, I think that was a mistake. The other issue this morning, of course, is the AFL's trying to get the Giants and Sydney families into Queensland. And it's having difficulty. They submitted a 60-page document, I understand, to the Queensland government with all the protocols over the weekend. Travis Old working on that. So there'll also be debate whether it was a good idea coming up to Queensland. But anyway, that's the situation we find ourselves in this morning.
Tom, there's a game that affects us here this week, Friday night footy, Port Adelaide, Collingwood. Any update on that one?
No, I think Port and Collingwood with the travel corridor will go ahead. There's no indication to indicate it won't. I think Hawthorn will swap that game with Adelaide. So I think that the Bulldogs will play Melbourne this weekend, and I think the Suns will play Brisbane. And I expect at this stage that Hawthorn will play Adelaide. But the AFL, they didn't confirm that to me yesterday, but that's the plan they're working on.
So the Crows weren't playing Ballarat on Sunday. You're saying they'll be playing Hawthorn in Adelaide at some stage. And you're saying that Port and Collingwood on Friday night will go ahead, which means Collingwood will have to sleep in Adelaide, which that hasn't happened when there's been COVID cases.
Well, so there's a timing issue there, Roos, you're saying, in terms of getting out after the...
Well, there's no hope if they play Friday night, but there's some talk they'll play Saturday.
Yeah, they could flip that around in terms of the time. I haven't spoken to the AFL about swapping times yet, just about swapping those three games.
Hey, Tom, as always, mate, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy your time up there on the Gold Coast, heading to the Sunshine Coast now as well. Roo, it's going to be a moving feast, isn't it, over the next few weekends?
It has been for a couple of years.
I like the idea of bringing the buy forward, though. Maybe they should do that.
Well, it'd be fair for Sydney and GWS if that's what AFL are keen on. Roo's News up next. I'm just saying it's big news, isn't it?
Well, I don't know.
You might win.
Excellent.
Or you might lose.
Wow.
Keep up with the times and play Roo's News.
Hardest quiz in Australia. Great prize. Port Adelaide Collingwood tickets, we think, this Friday night.
Collingwood are going all right, too.
Yeah, not bad, except a bad one against Carlton on the weekend.
Yeah, they're good for three quarters. Let's go to Manopara. G'day, Kenny.
Hey, Roo. How you going, mate?
Good, mate. You up to date? Been listening to the show?
Yeah, having a bit of a listen, man.
Had a bit of a listen. Check your buzzer.
Kenny.
Good on you, Kenny.
Let's head down to Aldinga. G'day, Tim.
How are you, Roo?
It's a bit beautiful down at Aldinga.
Oh, yeah, mate.
Nice. Good on you. Check your buzzer, Timmy.
Tim, mate.
Dits.
All right, Dits. Here we go. Question number one. Here's some audio from the footy on the weekend. Lockleys and Colonel Light Gardens just needed to kick a goal from the top of the goal square to win the game.
Kenny. He smothered it with his face.
Yeah,
yes, that's right, he did. He did and broke his nose. Yes. Well done. Yeah. Question number one. Question number two. Let's listen to Craig James. He was absolutely fascinated that Adelaide won the most livable city.
Number one is Auckland, New Zealand. Number two is Osaka in Japan. And number three is Adelaide in Australia. So
Number three is Adelaide?
Yeah.
Just couldn't believe it. People would want to live in Adelaide. And then last night, Adelaide won again.
All right, let's do the national whip around.
Look, Sydney 77.1, they had 786 auctions in spite of what's going on. Melbourne, sadly, you know, going into lockdown, it's very hard to change things at the last minute, but 76.4. Brisbane experienced 66.7%. So that's really good at Adelaide. Adelaide's the winner this week, 83.1%.
Adelaide, great stuff.
Adelaide was the place to be.
Joke. What did Adelaide win there with the auctions? Yep.
Lockdown numbers.
No.
Idea.
All right,
no
clearance idea. Rate to the auction. We had the highest clearance rate numbers. So Adelaide won again. Who would have thought Adelaide actually doing something well? True or false? In Queensland and New South Wales, they are now calling shark attacks negative encounters or interactions with sharks.
Tim.
True. It is true.
I know, we're locked at one already.
Can you believe that? That's what they're calling them now. Question number four. Alice had a very lazy day yesterday after she went out and had a few drinks on Saturday night. Her Fitbit at the end of yesterday said, A, she covered less than 50 steps, B, 50 to 100, Tim. Or C, 100 plus.
Tim, straight in.
A.
Yeah, it was A.
A little 34 steps you know she covered.
I reckon I want to recount too. I don't reckon she got up to 34.
34. Gee whiz, it's hard to do that. What's the score, Dits?
We've got Tim on 2, Kenny 1, Dits nil.
All right. I'm getting my COVID shot this afternoon, and I did a little bit of research here. Apparently, are you not more likely to get a blood clot from taking Viagra than the COVID vaccine?
Kenny.
Yes, Kenny.
True.
It is.
Yeah, it is true. Mm. It's a thriller. Mm. We're too old.
So be careful, Viagra users out there. question number 6.
Is this the decider?
It is the decider.
Two all we are.
That's right. Who are Port Adelaide playing this week?
Kenny.
Collingwood. There you go.
Kenny! You're the winner. You've got tickets to go and see Port taking on Collingwood at Adelaide Oval either Friday or Saturday. Congratulations.
Well done, Kenny, and thanks for playing, Tim. That's it for us today, Roo.
All right, we'll catch you tomorrow, everyone. Have a great day.